أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. There are many blessings of reciting through the path of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Indeed, Aka sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has told us that the day of judgment will be a very difficult day. It's the day of accountability. 50,000 years long. We will all have to give account of all the things we've done to the extent that you will be asked to read everything you've said. You know, your sins will be disclosed. And people will beg for the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And will want this accountability to finish. There'll be thousands of years before the accountability even starts. And through the intercession of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then some ease will come to people. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a way out of that. These 50,000 years, these difficulties that people will face when they're drowning in their own sweat. Nafsa nafsi, you know, everybody, nobody's caring, no mother for the son, father for the son for the father, nobody cares about anybody else. In these difficult times, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a very beautiful madni pearl to extract you from these difficulties. The final and beloved and blessed messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O people, those who shall indeed gain swift salvation from the terrors and accountability of the day of judgment will be those of you who sent the most through the paak upon me, salat upon me in this world. So one of the ways that we can invest in our future on that day of judgment where no doubt it's going to be terrible day, full of difficulties, full of calamities, accountability. If every day we make it a habit to recite a little bit of Durood-e Paak from the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then on that day when we need it most, that Durood-e Paak will come to help us, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, a truthful intention is the best action. Now, we do a lot of things, but if we have a good intention, we will be rewarded for it. If we don't have a good intention, sometimes we don't get, the act might be one that potentially has good in it, but you won't get the reward for it. The example that I always use is this. You're walking along the pavement, there's a stone there, and you kick it out of the way. Now, that simple action can either get you a reward or get you nothing. Say, for example, you're walking and you think, I'll practice my football skills. And you kick the stone out of the way. You won't get any reward for it. What if you made the intention that that stone could hurt a fellow Muslim, somebody passing by here? So if I move it out of the way, it will help that person. And you just simply kick it to one side. You will be rewarded for that. So what that shows us is that your intention changes everything. Let's make some intentions. What the scholars write is this. That the more intentions, good intentions you make for any act, the more you're rewarded. So try and make it a habit of everything you do. Try and make a habit to make a good intention. That inshallah, I will listen to the entire speech and try and gain Islamic knowledge. But I will refrain from laziness during speech. I won't play on my phone. I will listen to the speech with the intention to reform myself, change my ways. And then whatever I hear, I learn, I remember, I will pass it on to others. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islamic brothers, the shaitan has a lot of weapons in his armory. And today we're going to talk about some weapons of the shaitan. Because he uses these to deceive people, to lead them astray, to make their life a misery. And today we're going to talk about something called an inferiority complex. And what is this? In essence, it is something which is very serious, and it's a psychological disease that we often fall into, and we fail to realize that it gradually destroys our mind and the environment around us. That this is a mental disorder. And what it means is this, that you think you are inadequate. I'm not good enough. I'm deficient. And these thoughts play in your mind time and time again until you get into an abnormal state of mind. You start to worry about everything. You start to think, I'm not really worth it. And you start to think, I'm a useless person. And these thoughts and emotions make you lazy, make you commit sins, make you take you away from good deeds, get rid of your enthusiasm, your zeal, and basically ruin your life. But there are two types of these complexes. There's an inferiority complex, and that is a dangerous disease as well. And then there is a inferiority complex. So superiority and inferiority, two complexes. Superiority, I think I'm better than everybody. Nobody can compare to me. I've got a good car, I've got a good house, you know, I'm well educated, I'm it. It's almost the it syndrome. You know, the world revolves around me, nobody else matters, and it's that arrogance. Islam doesn't like that. Islam says we should be humble. Who are you? You know, a lot of people who have this arrogance, They have it for a short time because Allah Azza wa Jal gives them time. But then when Allah Azza wa Jal grips them, you see the same people crying. That arrogance disappears. Arrogance. And yet, arrogance over what? You know, the artery of this heart is about this big. We walk like 10 men as if we're going to pierce the earth. And if Allah Azza wa Jal commanded it to become that, you'd be in hospital and they'd say we have to do a bypass. If we went a bit further, you'd be in a dark and lonely grave. What are we arrogant about? So that's the first thing. I'm better than so and so. He's poor. He doesn't have this. I have a better job. Arrogance. I'm not going to talk about that one today. That's a superiority complex. That's a topic for a different day. But that is as destructive. But today, I'm going to talk about this second thing, the inferiority complex. He's richer than me. Yeah, look at his house, man. He's got a better car than me. Yeah, he's better looking than me. He's taller than me. You know, he's got five children. I've only got two. He's got this. He's got this position. And all our life, we tend to live by what other people, we compare ourselves to other people. And then what happens is this brings ungratefulness. And it harms your brain, your mind, your soul, to the extent that despite having blessing after blessing, you become hopeless. You think, God, what have I got? And then you become jealous. And your jealousy leads to backbiting and anger and enmity and creating fitna. And what is the central cause? We're going to look at some of the causes today. Because this inferiority complex starts early. And I want you to pay special attention because a lot of the time, as a society, in the next few minutes I'm going to give you some examples, as a society, as a community, we actually build these inferiority complexes into ourselves. You can ask how. Let me show you. Parents, first example. How many times are parents constantly rebuking their children? You're useless. You can't do anything. And eventually this child, as he's growing up, he starts to actually think. You know, every time he makes a mistake, children make mistakes. You're supposed to give him, you know, the beautiful teachings of Islam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never once rebuked anybody. You know, even the servant said, who stayed in the servitude of the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and never did Aqa Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, raise their voice to us. And yet today, our own children, we've degraded them so much, even on little mistakes. If he knocks over the glass and it breaks, yeah, it was an accident. But no, we have to basically rebuke him to the extent that he feels lower than low. When this cycle repeats itself, unfortunately, that child grows up thinking, I'm nobody, I'm useless. Say, for example, your child comes home, my child comes home, and his results aren't quite good. And I know that he did try. I can say, you're not very clever. You're a bit sick. You could have done this, you could have done that. And you haven't got the brains, man. You can never do it. What does it do to that child? It completely kills him inside. And he starts to think over time that I don't have the ability to do this. He did. You've just put a seal on him that you're useless, and he's accepting that. Now next time, when he sits in an exam, he's going to say, well, I'm not that clever anyway, so I can't do well in this subject. And he's already lost. But if the same child came home and got average results, he said, Vita, you know, mashallah, you worked hard this time. But, you know, obviously there's some hard work needed. But mashallah, you've done well. You look, the ones you've answered, you've got, you know, 50, 60, 70%, whatever. So if you work a bit harder next time, you do a plan and everything else, I'm sure you can get 90%. I know you've got the brains. I know you've got the power. But it's just a bit hard work. Sometimes you have to put the hard work in, Beta. Look at the two children. One walks away thinking, yes, I can do it. And the other one walks away thinking, I'm useless. It may sound fancy. I spoke to a young man. And I asked him, I said, Beta, what are you doing after your school? You know, he said to me, honestly, he said to me, I'm not clever enough to go to college or university. Why? He said, just because I don't do that well. And, you know, and I spoke to his brother and his father. They said that basically the mother constantly rebuked him, saying he's dumb. And his name at home within the family gradually, because he used to make little mistakes, became dumb. So he started to act dumb because that was the name given to him. So I sat this child down. I spoke to him. I had two or three sessions with him. I said, Bitter, you're very clever. We went through. I said, what are you doing at college? He says, I'm doing some this course or that course. So I said, what are you interested in? He said, electrical. I said, mashallah, you know, why don't you do an electrical engineering degree? That child now is on his way to do an electrical engineering degree. But all it was encouragement. We got him out to that inferiority complex that the parents created. So don't just think your words don't have any meaning. Everything you say to your children goes to their heart. Then, next. Unfortunately, and this breaks my heart, we live in a society where we're constantly mocking people. You know, if somebody's ill in hospital, say for example somebody's got high cholesterol and they need a stent putting in, or they've had a heart attack at the age of 45, he's always stuffing himself. It's bound to happen. We don't sympathize with them. Or you have somebody who's, you know, he's got one eye. We don't say, put him to the test. How lucky am I that I've got two eyes? No. One-eyed man. We take the mickey out of him. Or do you have a hate on him? That's what we do. Do you understand how it makes him feel? He can't even walk probably. Oh, Langra. Did you ever stop to think how it makes him feel? You're taking somebody's shortcomings and you're basically, you know, taunting them with it. And it makes them feel this big. They might not say anything to you, but tell me this. Who created that person like that? Who didn't have an eye? Who created that person who couldn't hear? Or who had a facial disfigurement? Or who couldn't walk properly? So are you, Nauzubillah, challenging the Creator? But this is what we do, don't we? Well, you know, on that person, it was maybe dear. You know, Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Khatam al-Ali was doing a Madni Muzakra, and a young child rang. And he had some sort of ailment where at the age of, you know, 14, 15, his hair was turning white. And, you know, he said to Amir al-Sunnah on the phone call, he said, Bapa, I have this thing where my hair turns white. I'm only 14, 15. And people make fun of this. What do I do? And you could see that Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatuh Mal Aliyah, being the person they are, they were quite moved. And you know what they said to him? They said, Beta, this is the will of Allah. Be content with the decree of Allah. Don't take these people's words to heart. Because if you do, you will develop an inferiority complex and you'll never succeed in life. Because all your life you'll think you're less than other people. But look at what it does to these people, yeah. You know, today, when we sit down with the mates, you know, before we go out on a Friday night or a Saturday night with the friends, yeah, we always plan it. This week he's getting it. And we'll ring around or we'll send a WhatsApp and we'll say, right, this week we'll get him. And all weekend we're taking the mickey, we're making a mockery out of him. Now we think he's laughing along. He isn't. Inside, he's dying. But he can't do anything. And we think, yeah, I cracked a lot of jokes, man. I'm very witty. I'm walking away. Let me tell you what the Quran says. Next time you think you can take the mickey out of somebody and get a laugh from the brothers, listen to this ayah mubarakah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, O believers, men must not ridicule other men. It is likely that the ridiculed are better than the mockers. Allah Azza wa Jalla, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is saying, don't do this. Don't take the mickey out of each other. Because it creates enmity and hatred. He might say, I'm not bothered, carry on. Really, you know what it's like. We've all been on the receiving end of it as well. How do you feel? But that when we're dishing it out, we think, no, it's okay. The Quran actually tells you. Our beloved and final messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, a believer does not insult, curse, speak indecently, or make fun. Very clear advice from the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet, even when we're in our home environment, we've got to take the mickey out of somebody. And we create difficulties. Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to perfect character. And Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us what perfect character is. You know, the Muslims in the past, when Islam conquered the world, you were talking from Spain through to the borders of China. You know what percentage of Muslims there were? 2%. Because these are all new lands that have been taken over. And the historians will tell you that the way Islam spread was that the glorious companions went to these people and just stayed with them and showed them their beautiful character, showed them love and affection, showed them the beautiful way of Islam. And people started to enter Islam in group after group after group, to the extent that the glorious Quran says that they entered in armies. Thousands came into the fold of Islam through good character. And today, how many people do we even turn away from the masjid because we want to make a mockery of them? You were created special. The glorious Quran says, we have created man in the best form. There's no need for you to be, think of yourself as inferior. Mufti Qasim Sahib Dawood Barakatuh Mal Aliyah in Tafsir says that Allah in this ayah, Surah 3, took an oath by the fig, by the olive, by Mount Sinai, and the city of the beloved Habib, Makkah al-Mukarramah. He then explained how, indeed, man is created in the best of forms. And what Mufti Sahib writes is this, look at yourself. He created your limbs proportionately. He created you to stand up straight. He didn't make you a four-legged animal. He gave you the ability to eat, drink, mouth, nose, all, everything created perfectly, beautifully. And then not only that, he adorned you with knowledge, understanding, intellect, manners, and the ability to communicate. Mufti Sahib writes, why should you have an inferiority complex, yeah? You are the best that Allah has created out of all the creations. You are the most beautiful. Why do you have this complex? You are created the way Allah created you. So we look at this. What happens, unfortunately, is that we forget who we are and what we are. And when we take others, when we see others being mocked, instead of trying to help them or trying to stop the person, we just join in. Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu ta'ala, a beautiful companion of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their shins, Mubarak, were very thin. And one day, they were climbing a tree to get a miswak from the tree. And the companions are there, and Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there. And their shins became exposed. And the companions saw them and started laughing, saying, look at his shins. Oh, they're very thin. That sort of thing. And the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, I take an oath by he who has the power over my soul. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala said, shins are heavier on the scales of deeds than Mount Uhud. This is how special they were. Look at the respect that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave. And what Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us is when somebody is being targeted like that, and it was a lesson for us. The companions were amazing, but it was a lesson for us. When somebody's, your job is to help them, to big them up, not to join in the laughter. No, a man came to the court of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this was, you know, the best of creation. This was the amazing prophet. Islam was spreading like, you know, widely, and people were coming into the fold of Islam, left, right, and center. And so he comes, and he's mesmerized by everything. So he's shaking, he's trembling. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the final messenger, the mercy to the world, sees that he's overcome by awe. Now, in these days, when a king sees somebody, and he sees them overcome by, he tries to establish his authority even more. Look, I'm something special, he's scared of me, these people are scared of me. Not the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, be at peace, I am not a king like the oppressors and tyrannical kings of this world. I am the son of a Qurayshi woman who lived in Mecca and ate dried meat. Now they say that as soon as he heard these humble words from the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately his mouth blossomed. He felt relaxed. He felt comfortable. And then Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave some very important advice. O people, I have certainly received revelation commanding you to be humble. So be humble. Do not oppress one another and do not be prideful. O servants of Allah, be brothers to one another. Brothers do not put other brothers into an inferiority complex. Brothers do not get jealous of their brothers. Brothers do not think bad of their brothers. Do not backbite their brothers. Today, one of our problems is that we've created battlefields everywhere. What we do is we have views about everybody. What is he like? What is he like? What is he like? He's like this. I heard this about him. I heard a rumor about him. And everybody, to the extent that we've polluted our mind. It's all hazy and smoky up there. Why? Because we're constantly on this. And not one thing have we ever thought we'd check or double check. We just assumed it's true. And it clouds our judgment, destroys our peace, destroys our tranquility. The problem is this. I wasn't obliged to think what you were like, or the other. The only one person that I needed to analyze was this one here. And we don't analyze ourselves. Yet what do I have in me? Why do I have enmity towards my brother? Why do I have hatred towards somebody? Is it because he's got a better job than me? Is it because he's got a better car than me, a better house than me? Is he in higher status than me? No, I'm just jealous, I don't like him, and that's it. This is where the shaitan takes over. When people have inferiority complexes, they then do damage. Because they think they are less. They destroy their own lives. These inferiority complexes, thinking you are less than other people, thinking that you haven't been blessed by Allah Azza wa Jal, thinking yourself of being little, kills your reason to live. Now, you'll do this for several worldly matters. So you look at somebody's wealth. We get this inferiority complex. He's rich. I've seen it. You know, and it's sad. Yeah. Our mind evolves around money so much. You know, the local imam walks in. I was at a Fatiha. And a local imam walked in. And a few of us got up, greeted Imam Sahib. The rest of them stayed sitting down. And we greeted Imam Sahib Tashira came, sat him down, we sat back down. And then a rich man, rumored to be a millionaire, comes in. And I was absolutely disgusted that everybody stood up. Everybody stood up. Why? Because of his wealth. Nothing else. You know, And because I'm not mentioning the person's name, I can say, I would have doubt if he knew what the faraiz of wuzu was. But the scholar of the deen of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and nobody, you know, gave him the time of day. This is where we are. We just look at wealth. Somebody's got a big car, therefore, and then I'm in an inferiority complex, his car's better than mine. His house is better than mine. His, you know, children are better than mine. And by doing this time and time again, by comparing ourselves to those around us in worldly matters, we destroy our mind and our soul. And constantly, you know what we do? We think, yeah, what have I got? I've got nothing left. And you become ungrateful for the blessings of Allah. And that kind of hopelessness, that anxiety, what does it lead to? It leads to laziness. And, you know, people start to think to this extent, yeah, what's the point of me reading the mouth? I've never got anything. And people do say that. Honestly, they do. They say, what is Allah? I've had problem after problem. What does Allah bless me with? Like, you know, and they'll be lazy in salah, and they'll be lazy in the good deeds, and they'll think, you know, what is it going to achieve? This is that inferiority complex. And what it does is it takes you down and down. This is the shaitan. What he's done is he's wrapped you up in this little web of deceit. And he's pulling you down. And what he's saying to you is, you've got nothing. Well, what does the Quran say? The Quran says, if you were to count the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, you would never be able to count. Every single one of us here has been, you're in the top 1% of the top 1% of the world. You live in this country. You can eat whatever you want, you can wear whatever you want, you've been gifted with two eyes, you've been gifted with a brain, ears, everything else. When was the last time that you thought and thanked Allah Azza wa Jal for that? There was a Buzurg Rahmatullah Alayhi, and they had some trouble, I think, with their knees or something. So somebody came to see them and they said, how are you? And they said, Alhamdulillah, my eyes are working fine, Alhamdulillah, my ears are working fine, Alhamdulillah, my tongue is working fine, Alhamdulillah, my throat is fine, my lungs are fine, everything else. So he said, what is the problem? He said, well, there's some trouble in my knees, but I better mention all the good things before I get to the bad one. Today, all we remember is the bad one. You have got, let me give you a reality check today, because we shouldn't be in any inferiority complex. You've got every blessing under the sun. My youngsters, there are people your age, there are youngsters who have to go to work. And that's in a lot of countries in the world. And yet, your parents make breakfast, put it in front of you, and drive you to school. That's it, isn't it? And yet we think, what have my mum and dad ever done for me? We get into this inferiority complex. We think, I can't do this, I can't do that, I've not got nothing. Look at my mate, he's got a new phone, he rides an electric scooter, he's got this. My dad doesn't buy me anything. Again, inferiority complex. Not appreciating the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Not appreciating the fact that your father is working 12 hours a day trying to put bread on the table. Not appreciating that these, you know, £300 shoes and £300 jackets, they cost a lot of money. Not appreciating the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But simply thinking that, you know, I've got nothing. And what that the shaitan does is then makes you ungrateful. So this feeling of inferiority, you've got to get rid of it. Now the scholars give some madni pearls on how to get rid of it. The first thing is, you've got to get out of this negative thought process. Stop comparing yourself to others. You are unique, yeah? Allah created you unique. You are special. There's nobody like you in the world. The blessings, the ni'mat, the qualities that you have, nobody else has. Don't copy others. Be unique. Be yourself. Thank Allah for everything you've got. Look at the bounties of Allah Azza wa Jal. When was the last time you woke up in the morning, you opened your eyes and you could see and you said, Ya Allah, tera shukr. There are people who get up in the morning and they can't see. There are people who get up in the morning and they can't get out of bed without help. There are people who have one room to share between five people. And you have, you know, en suites and bedrooms and everything else and dining rooms. When was the last time you thanked Allah Azza wa Jal for the house you live in? When was the last time you thanked Allah Azza wa Jal for the feet? There are people in wheelchairs, hundreds, thousands, millions. Once you start to thank Allah Azza wa Jal, your mindset changes. Open your eyes, is what the scholars write. Look at the huge bounties of Allah Azza wa Jal. Yaar, if you made a list, you wouldn't be able to make a list. You know, there was a man, he was in a country, he was one of the richest men in the country. And they interviewed him on the national TV. And they said, you know, you've got all this money, do you ever wish for anything? He said, yes. He said, I've got an ailment where I can't control my eyelid. You know this mechanism that controls the eyelid? Mine doesn't work. So what we have to do is either I have to keep my eye closed or I have to pin back. And I've spoken to all the doctors in the world. Because I'm a rich man, I've sought advice. And they said, cannot do anything. Cannot do anything about it. And he goes, I would give my wealth away just to be able to open and close my own eyes. Because when it stays open, the eye gets dry. When it stays closed, I can't see through it. When was the last time we thanked Allah for this power to see you? This is what we need to think about. A Muslim shouldn't get into an inferiority complex. Our pious predecessors, they had nothing. Today we have everything, and yet still we're ignorant, and we're ungrateful in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, our pious predecessors lived by very little. And still, they used to say, Ya Allah, tera shukr. Ya Allah, we thank you for everything. You know, the elders here, they'll tell you, you know, in the olden days, when you ask somebody, he could have 100 problems. He could be ill, he could be anything. You know, you asked him, they never told you their problems. They kept their problems between themselves and Allah. When you asked them, they said, Alhamdulillah, I'm good. Today, sometimes you're afraid to ask somebody how you are, because you'll pull out a list of problems. The first thing they do is, I've got this, I've got that, I've got this problem, my son's done this. And you think, Ya Allah, I made a mistake, I shouldn't have asked him. Because he doesn't remember all the good things. All he remembers is all the bad things. You know, some people, I met one person, he said, my life has been a misery. And all my life I've been struggling. So I said, you know, what? I mean, to me, I said, you've had a good life. You know, you've got a good job, you've got everything else. I said, you know, you drive a nice, everything's there. Tell me what? And all it was is little things that had happened in life. And everybody has ups and downs. But what he'd taken is those little things and basically said, this is my entire life ruined now because of something that didn't happen according to his will. That's what we do. And this is the waswasa, this is the whisper, and this is the trap of the shaitan. And the reason he wants to do that is, he wants to make you feel insignificant, useless, and therefore affect your gratefulness in the court of Allah, and indirectly affect your worship. When you're happy, when you're content, you know, the richest man in the world, they say, who is it? And people come up with names. A wise man once said, the richest man in the world is not the one with the most money. The richest man in the world is he who is content with what Allah has granted him. Be happy with your height. Be happy with the face Allah has given you. Be happy with the family Allah has given you. Be happy with the wealth that Allah has given you. Be happy with the car Allah has given you. Be happy with everything. And you will be the happiest person on the surface of the earth. Don't think about others. And it comes back to the age-old story. Well, there was a man who used to walk to work. And he used to see a cyclist. And he thought, I'll get a bit of money and I'll buy a bike. He buys a bike and he's riding bike and he's very happy. Then he sees a motorcycle guy. And he thinks, if I had a motorcycle, I'd be happier. So he gets a motorbike after a few years. And he thinks, great, I've got a motorbike now, I can get to work quickly. Then he sees a car. And he thinks, I wish I had a car. Then he sees another car and thinks, I wish I had a better car. That's the rat race, they call it, that we're in. All we want is, we've got this house, yeah, I want a bigger house. I've got this car, I want a bigger car. I've got these luxuries, I want a bigger luxury. We look at that person who's got better than us. What we don't look at is those who don't have anything. You know, let me give you an example before I move on. I'm number 9. I want you to concentrate on this example because I want you to remember it. I'm number 9. I've got a normal house, I've got a normal car, I've got a normal job. Number 10, he's got a mansion, he's got a Ferrari parked at the front, and he's a high-flying executive. So I look at him and think, yeah, what have I got? He's the one who's got everything. He's got the mansion, he's got the Ferrari, he's got the top job. My mind's just nothing, man. I haven't been gifted with anything. It's not to look up when it came to worldly matters, to look at those below you. If I'd looked at number 8, he was living in rented accommodation and riding a bike. If I looked at number 7, he was living in a hut. Number 5 was on the streets. Number 4 had no legs. Number 3 was in hospital ill. Number 2 had
no family, no children. You know, Allah Ta'ala had tested him in a different way. If I'd looked this way, every moment of my life, I would have said, Ya Allah, tera shukra, look at all these people. Who am I to deserve all of this? Look at all these people. They've got nothing. Ya Allah, tera shukra. I would have never fallen into an inferiority complex. But I'm looking this way. And that's what we all do. We look in the wrong direction when it comes to worldly matters. We should look to those above us, but not in worldly matters. We should look above at those who are better than us in deeny matters. And this is the problem. When it comes to world and wealth and cars and houses, we look up there. We don't look back here and we become ungrateful. And when it comes to striving in the way of deen, we look this way. We think, well, I've kept 25 roze. He didn't keep any, so at least I'm better than him. I read two namaz, he doesn't read any. I mean, at least I'm better than him. At least I read Jummah. We look at those below us. Why didn't you look at him? Five namazat, tahajjat, ishraq, chasht, awabin. Keeps roza every Monday and Thursday. Why? Because that on your mind would be difficult. That's why you didn't look up at the one who was better than you in deen. He's doing the same job as you, but he's doing a course. He's learning how to read the Quran. He's at the Madrasatul Madina Balighan learning the Tajweed. He's there learning Siratul Jinan fi Tafsir al Quran. But if you look at him, you fall into problems, don't you? Because you have to change. So there, when it comes to dini matters, you're looking at those less than you. When it's worldly matters, you're looking at the mansion and the Ferrari. That's where the problem is. This is where your inferiority complexes come in. You think you're lesser than other people. Pyarislambiyo, we're not. These are just tricks of the shaitan. Allah Azza wa Jal has granted you so much. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the glorious Quran, and remember when your Lord proclaimed, if you are grateful, I will henceforth give you more. And if you are ungrateful, my punishment is henceforth severe. If you're ungrateful, you will constantly be in problems. But what the scholars write is this, that if you are grateful, you know, when you've got a blessing, like your house, your family, you know, your children, everything else, and you think, Alhamdulillah, what the scholars say is this, to protect that blessing, but important madni pearl, to protect your blessing, whatever you have, whether it's intellect, you're able to think better than others, or whatever, whatever blessing it is, when you realize, constantly thank Allah Azza wa Jal for it. And what the scholars say is this, what it does is it locks the barakat and the blessing in, and it is protected, and not only that, Allah Azza wa Jal increases it as well. Whatever it is, if Allah has given you wealth, constantly read namaz 5 times a day, protect your salah, and thank Allah Azza wa Jal. Malik, I didn't deserve this. Who am I to deserve this? But it's your mercy. Through the blessings of your beloved Habib, I've got this. And the scholars say, whether it's wealth or car, whatever it is, if it's a bounty from Allah Azza wa Jal, thank Him for it, and not only will it be protected, but Allah Azza wa Jal will increase it even more. So being thankful, learn this word. And the scholars say, they say, whatever you think about the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, habit banale, make it a habit. Ya Allah tera shukr, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. And these words of Alhamdulillah is the most beautiful statement. It will bring a smile to your face. It will bring peace and tranquility to your heart. And if you keep saying this word, every time you see a blessing, you see your children, you see your house, Alhamdulillah, 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 it will take you from a spiritual level down here to the greatest heights. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said to his blessed companions, raise your shields. They asked, O Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, have enemies attacked us? Akakreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, no, rather raise your shields against hellfire and recite Subhanallah walhamdulillahi wallahu akbar, as these words will protect you from the front and behind on the day of judgment. This is where true peace and tranquility lies. Parishlamiyo, this word of Alhamdulillah, when you see the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, when you leave here, you know, when you go to your car, when you go to your house, when you get up in the morning, from getting up in the morning to the things you do, to the water you drink, to the food you eat, to the work you go to the wage you get, if you constantly thank Allah Azza wa Jal, you will get such a sweet taste of pure spirituality that your life will change. Yik esa pala, this is a beautiful fruit from a garden we've never walked into. Try it. Try and decorate your tongues with thanking Allah Azza wa Jal. Then, the next thing that you need to do is look at your individual skills. You know, what we try to do is we try to copy others. I want to be like him, I want to be like him. No, don't be like anybody. Be yourself. Think that Allah Azza wa Jal has given me the ability. Have aspirations. You know, we had I gathered some youngsters about a month ago, and I asked them, and you know, when we were younger, we had like, you know, somebody wants to become a dentist, and somebody wants to become a solicitor, and a doctor, and a barrister, and something like that. We gathered these youngsters, teenagers, and when I asked them, you'd be shocked. They said, we don't know what we want to do. I said, look, have you had any careers interviews? Have you done anything? Have your parents spoken to you about anything? They said, no. No aspirations. We're just, you know, moving along. And yet you were so special. You know, you're not like normal people. You were given the gift of Iman. There's that great couplet. Okay, don't compare yourself to the surroundings that you're in. You are the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are something special. You've got the greatest gift on the surface of the earth. You are the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why would you have an inferiority complex? It baffles me. And yet, we're letting the shaitan run a mockery. So look at your skills. Look at your intellect. Look at your strengths. Look at your talents. And for the parents or elder brothers, I say, encourage the younger ones. Say, what do you want to do with your life? You want to become a doctor? I believe you can do it. Believe in them and they will go a long way. Don't rebuke them. Don't put them down. And then constantly pray in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ya Rab, you know, and ask Allah Azza wa Jal for a good career, for the bounties. There's no harm in that. But thank Allah Azza wa Jal as well. And the scholars write something really beautiful. What they say is this, that Allah Azza wa Jal is the Rabb of the worlds. And this word Rabb is special because He is the one who nourishes us and looks after our needs. If you turn to Allah Azza wa Jal, you thank Him. We live lives of ignorance and Allah still blesses us with everything. If you turn to Allah Azza wa Jal and you thank Him, He's going to give you more, isn't He? It's pretty logical. So this is what we need to do. We need to turn to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. We need to enhance our capabilities. We need to change our lives, yeah? Why should my office be a mess? Why should my life be a mess? Why should my house be a mess? I'm a Muslim. We organize the world. We created everything that was there. You look at the inventions from the scalpels and the instruments on the operating tables today in these hospitals to things like coffee and welfare systems and everything. We invented everything. You shouldn't have an inferiority complex. You are something special. Start to think that. You know, great personalities came from this Islam because they believed they could do a lot. Today we haven't got the belief. We think, go to work, come back home, feed the kids, go to work, come back home. No, that isn't life. You haven't even started a spiritual journey yet. We've got people who are doing course after course after course, online courses of Dawat Islami. They do one course and start the next one. And they fit it in their time. I've got brothers, you know, my relatives who do taxis and they've got, you know, books in their car and they've read, you know, Siratul Jiran Sharif and other books while waiting for jobs rather than playing on their phones. They're doing courses. They're doing evening courses. Their children are doing courses. The entire family is busy going to Istimars, Madni Kaflas. Every month they're taking the young moms and going on Madni Kaflas and reforming their children. And where are we? Sat at home every weekend. Parisambi, it's time to change. There was a lot more that we could have said, but work hard. If you want to achieve something, one of the problems with the inferiority complex, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, is that what it makes you think is this, I've done something, but I haven't achieved. Say it's exam results. Oh, I only achieved 60% or 50%. I only got a C or a D. But I did work hard. So what? I accept you worked hard. But all it means is next time you've got to work harder. Don't put yourself down. Think, I put in 2 hours a day. I'm going to put in 4 hours a day. Have that passion to work harder and you will achieve. The inferiority complex of thinking, I'm not that clever, I can't do it. It's not about being clever. The scholars say it's about who works hard. A lot of our scholars, a lot of those who achieved, you ask them, it wasn't that they were the cleverest in the class, they were the hardest workers. Work on your education, and above all else, work on the deen of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Improve yourself, and don't think that you are less than anybody. May Allah give us all the ability to enhance our lives and make them better, and make us appreciate that we truly are somebody special. Ameen bijahi Nabi Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
May you keep ascending.